Good morning. So, question. What's brown and green, fuzzy on the top, and could kill you if it fell on you out of a tree? A pool table. Thank you. I just didn't feel like I got my turn, so. So, really excited to be here with you this week. Thank you for including my family in all of your activities. They're having a blast. We're having a blast. I love talking about Jesus. I love talking about his word. That's why I'm blessed to be able to do that as a profession. So no offense to Farmstead, but I'm living the dream every day at my school. So we're talking this week about what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to follow somebody who's following Christ? And how do we become people that are following Christ and that people would follow as we follow Christ? A lot of following. And yesterday we spent the day talking about how the first step in following Christ is prayer. It's how you become a follower of Christ. You cry out to Jesus to save you. You cry out to him because you want to follow him. And Jesus invites you into this eternal kind of life. And part of that is an eternal kind of conversation where you go to Jesus with all that's going on in your life and he feeds back into you. And then we just keep repeating that. And we looked in our extended time last night at how Jesus has given us a framework in the Lord's Prayer of how we should approach his Father and our Father, and that we go to him with praise. We go to him to have our priorities shaped by his priorities, and that changes the things that we ask him for. We go to him to give us everything we need. We go to him for the pardon and forgiveness of our sins. We go to him to be protected, and that this is just an ongoing way of life when you're following Jesus. So today I wanted to kind of talk about, what's the next step then? So if I'm in this life with Jesus, I'm following him, and if I'm having this ongoing conversation, what comes next? So I mentioned to you my buddy Ross Michael Chernelia, who was on my soccer team, and some of my fondest memories were from this soccer team. We were kind of a nutty soccer team. First off, we were the Green Tree Grasshoppers. I know, you were all like scary. I bet you were intimidating, right? Because you can just imagine that our soccer team got named by our parents. I don't know how many of you are on teams, but we had like the same group of parents. We started a baseball team, and so we got together like, what are we going to name the baseball team? And this will tell you how old we were at the time, but we were like, the Cobra Kai. That's what we want to name our baseball team. Those of you that understood, that's from the Karate Kid. Not the Jaden Smith Karate Kid, but the really scrawny Daniel LaRusso Karate Kid. Although, I did enjoy the updated Karate Kid, but you had to have the 80s context for that Karate Kid. Have you seen the Karate Kid? Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, good. I need a couple nods. My students at my school, they talk back to me in class. Not like sassy talk back. They just affirm that you're going the right way, or they give me this look. That's how I know I've totally lost them. Once in a while, my students will go, out. Which I wasn't aware as a child you could tell your teacher, it's time to go. So, but then I just stay, and then we get back on task. So, our parents, this is what they came up with. You'll appreciate this, maybe. They kicked the kids out of the room. They talked about it, and they came back, and they said, look, we're hip. The Cobra Kai are like the bad guys. So you can have Cobras, or, wait for it, you can be the Hot Sox, which is exactly how we felt about it. And so we huddled. We're like, man, the Cobra, that's not what we asked for, but the Hot Sox is pretty lame. And while we were talking, Jamie Bryant went on behalf of us and was like, we'll take Hot Sox. So we were the Hot Sox. And we lost every game. And I think it's directly tied to the name of the team. But these same parents got together and like, let's start a soccer team. And we're all in the Green Tree neighborhood. Well, what starts with G? And immediately it's like, oh, like gorillas. And like we had all these, and they were like, oh, grasshoppers. And all the parents were like, yes, grasshoppers. And so our shirts had this huge grasshopper on it. And every kid got their name right here. But remember, I know you're saying this now. I wasn't always this like hulk of a man that stands before you. At one time I was very small. And so my name actually started here and it ran into my armpit. Exactly, and that's how everybody felt about me when I lined up as forward, but they learned later, don't mess with the kid whose name goes into his armpit. So if you know anything about soccer, you would move up and down, like spring, fall, like we would be awesome in the fall, so they'd move us up and we'd just get murdered in the spring. So the coach would set these goals in front of us of like, okay, for today's game, we're trying to score 2 goals, or like today's game, we're trying to hold the opponent to 4, which didn't always happen. So I told you about the 56ers because they were the bad boys. They had tryouts. We just took everybody. We were more like Jesus in that way. And so we would play the 56ers, and we had this goal. The coach was like, hold them to 3 or less. If we get 2 or more, I don't care what the end is. We're going for ice cream. And you know that those are the magic words. And we were like, oh, ho, ho. And we played out of our minds. Ross Michael Chernelia played out of his mind. And we lost 3-2. But much like when we celebrated that Ross wasn't going to die when his father came, we were getting ice cream this time. And I may have never seen this in my life, but upon the final whistle, both teams erupted in great cheering, which confused the 56ers, but we were going to Baskin-Robbins. So this team was full of some of my best friends, and one of my buddies, Brandon, and I, we used to do sleepovers. And one time we slept over on Brandon's birthday, and so we went, and he got a new Atari game. Atari is a prehistoric video gaming unit. You can probably find it at the Goodwill, or maybe you could go to the Video Game Hall of Fame Museum. Those exist, right? If they don't, they should. I'll just let you know also, I did have Pong before the Atari came out. Thank you. So he bought this game, and it was one of these, like, because Atari goes left to right. That was all there was on the screen, and you could go up and down. And then that was just how the games changed. So Pitfall Harry could go left to right and go up and down. When Coleco came out, Donkey Kong could go left, right, up and down in little circles. But we bought this spaceship game, and he opened it. And you know the little thing that tells you how to play the game? I just remember him going like, paper, paper, paper. Whoop, there goes the book. And so we plugged it in, and we started playing. And he went up and down, and the stars came. And there were like planets, but there were no bad guys. And the Atari had a joystick. It was just a stick, and there was one button, right? And he would hit the button, and it would shoot, and he would just go up and down as the stars came, and he would shoot. And we both stared at this thing probably 15 minutes before one of us was like, this is stupid. And we just shut it off, and we went and played ping pong. Now, I share that with you, and he was like, that was a terrible present. And I share that with you because if you caught somewhere in the story, we had taken the manual and like, whew, just thrown it back in the corner. So the reason I share the Green Tree Grasshoppers with you is when it comes to following Jesus, he invites us into this eternal kind of conversation. And then there's this book. Now, my wife is the art teacher, so that's why for me, you just get shapes. So there's this book when you follow Jesus. If you've been around Christianity or the church, you know that I'm talking about the Bible. Now, the phrase follow me, this comes from when Jesus would declare and went out and he found people and he told them to follow him. Who knows Jesus' nationality? What ethnicity was he? He was Jewish. That was what you said right before I interrupted you. Good job. Thank you. So within Judaism, you have the rabbis. And the rabbis are like the best of the best of the best, sir, because they've learned all their stuff. They had to memorize ginormous portions of scripture just to like get into the school that could get you to the school. And if you were allowed to follow a rabbi, and the way it did was, especially the young men, you would have to memorize up to and including the whole Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. And then you would approach a rabbi and ask him, could you follow him? And then the rabbi could have his choice out of the best ones. So it's interesting, and it's not today's topic, but Jesus reverses that and goes out to people and tells them, you should follow me. But if you followed a rabbi, you would take on what's known as that rabbi's yoke. And the rabbi's yoke were all of his teachings on how to do life before God. So that's just interesting of when Jesus says, take on my yoke, which is easy, and my burden is light. So following a rabbi meant that you learned from that rabbi. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we're saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want to learn how to do life from you. So the scriptures, now, I believe that Jesus talks to us in prayer. And I believe that that's something that you grow into and you learn to respond to the Spirit of Christ as you're having this ongoing conversation with him. But the main place that Jesus then speaks back to us is in the scripture. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to give you the biggest reasons that I trust that the scriptures are from Jesus and why I listen to them. So the Bible, ultimately, the main character and the main message of the Bible is Jesus. You're not going to find him on every page. when I was a kid, I used to watch the Thundercats. Can I get a Thundercats ho from anybody? Okay, thank you. And if you ever watch Thundercats, they would hide this guy, like in the show. It was Snarf, right? No, it was this like little elf thing. And at the end of the show, he would come back on and he'd be like, "Did you find me?" And we would all yell at our screen, "We found you!" And this was before Dora. I think this is where Dora got her thing, where she talked to you through the screen. This was all thanks to Fox. See, I know you guys grew up knowing the internet. There was a time in the Dark Ages when there was no internet. There was also a time in the Dark Ages, wait for it, cartoons were only on one day of the week. Exactly, Saturday. And then Fox showed up on the scene. They're like, "What up? We're the new cool guy. We're going cartoons every day of the week." So suddenly they would have Monday through Friday. Sundays were lame. It was Captain Planet. No offense if that was like your favorite one. You're all going, "Captain Planet, what did he do? Like try to save the world by making ecological choices?" Exactly. That's exactly what Captain Planet did. He was like, "Recycle, children. I caught this man littering." You can tell why it didn't last. So much in the same way, there's this character like who's hidden while Lionel and Tigra and Panthro are taking on Skeletor. No, that was a He-Man reference. My bad. Mixing all of my life. So Jesus is all through the scriptures, and they're all about Jesus. So I remember I had a professor that really pushed me on this. He says, "Well, my bibliology is shaped by my Christology." And if you don't have anyone in your life that talks that way, you need at least one. But the rest of the time, that would be weird, like just trying to sit down and have a hamburger with somebody that speaks with ologies at the end of all of their sentences. But this was his point. The reason that he loves and trusts the Bible is because he loves and trusts Jesus. And the Bible is all about Jesus. There's two main parts in your Bible. The first one is the Old Testament. Now, my roommate in college, Steve, before we were roommates, he lived in another part of campus, and people figured out he was the Christian in the dorm. And so guys used to come to him with their crazy questions about Jesus. And there was one guy that had like gone to the army first, and then he came to college, so everybody called him Grandpa, and he talked really deep. Because apparently when you go into the armed forces, it lowers your voice. And so he came one day knocking on Steve's door. He's like, "Hey, Steve, do you got an Old Testament?" And Steve's like, "Yeah, I have like 4 or 5 of them. Do you want me to go grab one?" He goes, "Yeah, but I don't want it with the New Testament." He's like, all of them have the New Testament. It's like one whole book. He goes, "I just want the Old Testament because they don't want you to read the Old Testament." He goes, "Where would you ever get an idea like that?" He goes, "Because the guys on the corner are always handing out New Testaments." So he thought this was like some scheme that like, well, we don't really like the Old Testament. So here's the nice part of the Bible. But you should read the Old Testament, and I hope you do. But there's a lot going on in there. It's kind of outrageous from time to time. But this is the thing of like why Christians read it. Jesus constantly came and told people, "Hey, you know, if you've been paying attention to the scriptures, you would understand me because they're all about me." And Jesus constantly affirmed that the Old Testament was from God. It had the authority of God. And then I just want to share with you a few things I was writing down the other day. I was totally paying attention to the sermon that Sunday, but this thought struck me. Here are people in the Old Testament that Jesus believed were real, and he believed that what the Old Testament said about them actually happened. Jesus believed that Adam and Eve were real people. He believed that Noah was real, that the flood was real, that Abraham was real, that Lot was real, that Moses was real. He even believed that Lot's wife, if you know the true story, as they were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned into salt. Jesus thought that was real. He believes in Jonah. So Jesus believed that a man got swallowed by a fish. Jesus thought Abel was real, Elijah and Elisha and their miracles were real, Daniel, David, Isaiah, Solomon. We could go on and on. Just about every major person that we know from the Old Testament, Jesus references them. So Jesus read the Old Testament. That would have been his scriptures. He believed it was all true. And so if Jesus thinks that the Old Testament is true, then I know that even though there's some crazy stuff in there, I can believe that it's true and that it can somehow feed me. And we're going to talk later about, so what should you do with all that? Then you get into your New Testament side of the scriptures, and it basically has two main parts. You've got the Gospels, which are about Jesus. Who knows who wrote the Gospels? Give me their four names. Ready? Go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fantastic. Matthew was one of the disciples. okay? Mark was, John Mark, who was one of the missionary companions of Paul. We believe that Mark got his gospel by hanging around Peter. So remember, Peter's one of the inner circle, okay? Luke, what do you know about Luke? I'll be kind of impressed. Who was Luke? He was a doctor. And where does he fit into this equation? Was he one of the first 12? No, good job. Yeah, he was not one of the first 12. Okay, Luke came along in Acts when the church was exploding. And so Luke felt like, well, we should really get all this stuff written down. And then John was, there's a couple Johns. This was not John the Baptizer or the Baptist. This was John who was in the inner circle. So you've got these four guys that were either right there with Jesus when all of this is going down, or they're like one degree of separation. And then Luke wrote the book of Acts. So then the rest of your New Testament are these letters. And most of them are written by the Apostle Paul, who was a full-time Christian killer. He wanted to end Christianity, and then Jesus shows up and alters his life, and he becomes kind of like the first famous Christian. And once the disciples were like, this guy checks out, he starts to go out and he's planting churches and he's writing letters, and that's what you've got going on in the rest of the New Testament. So the Gospels are about Jesus, and then everybody that wrote the rest of the New Testament, these are people that either walked with Jesus or they were one degree of separation away from Jesus. So you can see why when people say, well, why do you trust the Bible? A really simple answer is, well, because it's about Jesus, and Jesus trusted the Old Testament, and in a sense, you can say Jesus commissioned the New Testament. So it's all about Jesus. So I want you to kind of take that with you today. We'll unpack maybe, so what do you do with this? But there's a reason that Christians are really high on this Bible, and there's a reason why Christians spend time studying it, and there's a reason why it's present when Christians preach and teach, and why it's in our songs, and that it's a part of how you follow Jesus. It's a part of how Jesus being our rabbi teaches us. So I want to go back to our refrain we've been singing, and we've altered the words a little bit this morning. So if any of you know the true story about Mary and Martha and how Jesus was visiting them one day, and Mary and Martha were sisters, and Martha wanted to have the house all set up and the food set for everybody, and Jesus came in and he sat down, and you should look for this in the scriptures. Whenever Jesus sat and then started teaching, when a rabbi taught, he sat down. And when a rabbi sat down, if people came around him, it was their way of acknowledging, you're the rabbi. So in that case, Jesus sits down, and Mary walks into this room and sits down because she wants to learn from Jesus. If we had more time, we'd talk about how women weren't supposed to do that at that time, that only the men got to sit down with the rabbis. But Jesus was totally okay with Mary coming in, and he was totally okay with her crossing this line. And it was part of Jesus' way of saying, look, I'm a rabbi for everybody, men and women. And so as we consider the Bible and how we learn from Jesus as our rabbi in the Bible, it's part of listening to him and learning from him. So that's what we're going to sing this morning. We'll sing it twice. I will listen to you, Jesus. I will learn from your word, Jesus. I will listen to you, and I will follow just you, and I will listen to you, Jesus. I will learn from your Jesus, I will listen to you. I will follow just you. Jesus, it is our heart's cry to learn from you. And no matter how small or great that hunger is, we pray, Lord, that you would give us more of it. We pray that as we are learning to follow you, you would come be our rabbi, be our teacher. Show us the way to live this eternal kind of life with you. And so we pray, Lord, that we would consider that throughout the day, and that throughout the day also we would just be open to hearing
what you want to say and teach us as we enjoy our time at camp today. So we ask for that along with a blessing on our day in the name of Christ. Amen.